Hey, so good morning, Hillcrest Church family.
Good morning.
Man, we've been praying for a long time to be able to say that. Hard to believe this day is here, huh? We are pretty thankful. And just yesterday, I think we got a taste of, now we know we're really settled in, because yesterday, one of our kids went to the urgent care last night, so we know we're really settled in. And what we learned was also that the pharmacy here closes at 6, so that was also a new realization. But we are so excited to be here with you. We are so excited for what God has for us as a church family in the days ahead and where He will take us. And I think this picture epitomizes the move last Saturday, where we arrived. We backed this up into our garage, and these gentlemen opened up the doors, and our stuff was as jam-packed as it possibly could be. And then you look a little closer, and it looks like they're having just a conferring, like a non-verbal communication going on. And you look at Brian, and Brian looks fairly positive. He's thinking, man, this seems like this is going to go well. You could see just some positivity in his face. And then you see Tom, and Tom's just not so sure about what's about to happen over the next few hours. But we got all our stuff into the house and unpacked. And this is hard to believe that we are starting this next adventure. And again, a lot of prayers. And please do not stop praying for what God has for us. And so they asked me, so David, what do you want to preach on for our first series? And this is a picture of a coffee shop that I went to consistently in Kosovo over the course of a year when we were there in Eastern Europe. And I remember the first time I met Pastor Femi. They're actually in Appleton right now at some conference. And I remember meeting Pastor Femi, and I'm excited for whatever he's going to have for me. I said, Pastor Femi, what do you have for me? What do you want me to do? He goes, David, it's up to you, David. I'm like, okay, well, let's see what happens. So every morning, I'd go to this coffee shop called Detanat, Day and Night Coffee Shop, and I'd sit there. And I open up the Gospel of John, and I'd read John before, right? This wasn't the first time going through John in seminary, having read it before. But when I was in this coffee shop every morning going through John, the person of Christ just came alive in a real way. And so what I'm looking forward to is in our first series together, I just want to go to Jesus for the first few weeks together. We're going to go consistently in the years ahead, but I'm excited for us to just look at the Gospel of John and look at Jesus together for these first few weeks and just be overwhelmed by who He is and His person and the work of Christ. So my understanding, our practice is we stand and read this together, right? So here's what I love about the Gospel of John. This quote up on the board, it was an anonymous quote, but I love it because it feels like the Gospel of John is the book we give people that are new to faith, right? This evangelistic book, and yet it's simultaneously this pool that a child can wade in or an elephant can swim. Because John's just going to bring us consistently to the person of Jesus, and he just wants us to be overwhelmed and amazed at who he is. So stand with me. We're going to read John chapter 20 together, and then John chapter 1. So we're going to go to the end of the book where John has given us the key to why he's writing this. So he gives us the key on why he's writing his book at the very end, and then we're going to, for the rest of the morning, unpack John chapter 1. So John 20, 30 to 31. Read with me, please. Or let me read. Read with me as I read aloud. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. And this is where John starts his book in chapter 1. 1-5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You may be seated. So here's our hope. We're going to work through the text together. We're going to jump in, and you may see a lot of text on the screen. My heart, my desire, we gather as a community on Sunday to worship God collectively, and then we go back to our neighborhoods, to our homes, to our workplaces, and we continue to worship. But when we gather and worship God collectively. And I think there's no better place to experience God than through His Word. And so it's kind of like a cooking show, right? You know, Rachel Ray, we're like dicing the cucumbers, and then Rachel Ray will put the meal in the oven, and then instead of waiting the hour and a half, she'll like pop the meal back out. Sometimes it feels like when we gather on Sundays, there's this feast that's being given to our people. There's this feast that happens, but instead, what I hope in our practice is we get to know each other more. You're going to see the text consistently on the screen. I hope it's an opportunity to be invited into the kitchen where we get to dice cucumbers together. We're not going to wait the hour and a half while the meal is cooking. We're going to like pop it out pre-made. But we're going to go into the kitchen together. The text will be on the screen, and you're going to see me consistently revisit those words because I don't want you to just hear stories from me. But I actually want you to see what God has written for us as we encounter and engage Him. So here's what John says in John chapter 1. And you got to love this. John, unlike Paul shares his name, a couple little titles, some intro stuff. Here's what I love about John. That's the very first verse. And the thing he wants us to see right off the bat is just who Jesus is. So, John chapter 1:1-5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then He gives us the key to His book at the very end, in John chapter 20. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written. So over the next 7 weeks, John, of all the things he could have told us, of all the things he could have written, he chooses 7 signs that Jesus did. And John's going to give us these 7 signs in order to just blow us away by who this Jesus guy is that John spent 3 years of his life with. John, I mean, you guys know a little bit of the disciples, right? They had a hard time figuring it out. And we get to see that recorded in these Gospels. As they're trying to figure out who this Jesus guy is, John wants us to figure it out right away. And so we're going to go through the 7 signs that John chose to write about. Because John just wants to be astonished. He just wants us to be blown away by who Jesus is. So now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, in my gospel. But these are written so that what? He gives us 2 ideas on why he wrote this. So that you might believe, and that by believing you might have life in His name. You know, it feels like, I don't know if you've grown up in the church or if this is new to you, but it feels like sometimes we're inoculated with some of these truths about who Jesus is and what it means to believe. John doesn't want this to just be intellectual assent. He didn't just want this to be ideas that we're learning about and knowing, but he actually wants us to believe these, to be saturated by them. He wants us to know and treasure this unconquerable light. He wants us to know and treasure. He wants us to not just intellectually understand who this Jesus guy is, but he wants us to believe there is life in his name. He wants us to experience this abundant life that comes from life with Christ. So pray with me, and we will jump in to John chapter 1 this morning. God, thank you for who you are and what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for our community, for our Hillcrest Church family. May you be with us. May we constantly believe that there's nothing better in this life than you, and may we pursue you with all our might and see that saturate our lives and see that unleashed into the lives of those around us. Thank you, Jesus. It's for your glory we pray. Amen. So as we jump in, John gave us the key. He wants us to believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing we can have life in his name, not just some intellectual understanding, but actually an experience of who he is. So here's where he starts his gospel. And I love the way John starts his gospel. Because again, of all the places he could have started, he didn't just soft pedal it. He didn't just throw a softball. He takes us immediately into the deep end of who Jesus is. So take a guess what we're going to do to start off with. We're going to start off talking about who Jesus is. So in the first place John goes, he tells us Jesus is eternal. Here's what he says in John chapter 1, the very first verse. In the beginning was the Word. So how many birthday candles did Jesus have? Like, if you're eternal, you kind of got like an infinite number of birthday candles, right? Right off the bat, John wants us to be blown away by who this Jesus is, that he spent 3 years of his life following. And at the beginning of his gospel, unlike his journey of discovering and figuring out who this guy was, he wants to tell us some incredible truths about who Jesus is. And he starts that Jesus is eternal, that he exists outside of time. In the beginning was the Word. No beginning, no ending. In the beginning was the Word. And the very next thing he goes to, he was with the Father. So John gives us this incredible truth right at the beginning of his gospel. Jesus is eternal and Jesus is with the Father. In the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God. You guys may have heard this thing called the Trinity. John, right at the beginning of his letter, is inviting us into the deep end of the pool and saying, this Word that was flesh and dwelt among us, that lived with us and walked with us, this Word was eternal and was with the Father. That intimacy, that relationship, that community, being with the Father for all eternity. Now, how's that fully work? How's this Trinity work? I'm hoping in the life, in our next few years, we get to continue to step into these deep realities. But right at the beginning of his gospel, John wants us to be blown away, to be astonished by who this Jesus is that we're following and committing our lives to. That in the beginning was the Word was with God. And then he doesn't just say, yeah, there's this one God in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He says this Jesus guy that walked among you, he was not only with God, he was God. Right at the beginning of his letter, Jesus has these phrases that John also includes, these I am statements, that Jesus is God. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word wasn't a God, but the Word was God. We believe one God, three persons. And again, it feels like you grew up in this system long enough, these truths no longer hit us in the way that John intends us to feel them. That we grow up hearing them so many times that we're inoculated with the reality that God took on flesh and dwelt among us. And John, at the very beginning of his gospel, chooses to write about these realities because he just wants us to be blown away. He wants us to be wrecked by the reality of who this Jesus guy is that we're choosing to follow with our lives. So not only does he tell us who he is, right? But he gives us statements of Jesus claiming this. So this looks familiar. Does this look familiar to anybody? So God, when he's talking to Moses, uses this language. He says, I am. Moses is questioning God. He's having a conversation. He says, God, who should I tell them that is sending me to them? What name should I use? And God says, tell them I am sent you. And we're not going to fully unpack this morning, but he says, I am that I am. Tell them I am has sent you, Moses. This proper name, God gives them this name, Yahweh. And what is the name Jesus chooses to address when he begins telling people about who he is? John records about 7 of these I am statements. This is just one. Jesus consistently equates himself with God and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John wants us to be blown away that this guy, Jesus, is eternal, timeless, outside of time, that he's in relationship with the Father, and he is God. So the next place John goes, he tells us who Jesus is, and then he tells us what Jesus does. Here's what he says first. He's going to tell us everything, everything, everything is created by him. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. Now, how far does that all things extend? So here's a little throwback. Casey, do you remember that picture? So that was 10 years ago. 10 years in August. We're going to be married 10 years. Is that hard to believe, babe? So 10 years ago, and I love this picture because if you haven't met my wife, she's this sweet, gentle spirit. You know, she's very just, you know, quiet and very just, oh, you think she's this sweet little girl. Right after this picture was taken, that cake was right on the edge of my mouth. And then next thing you know, it's just getting shoved in my face. So we've been married 10 years now, 10 years in August, and we were talking last year about what we'd want to do for our 10-year anniversary, and so we were thinking about maybe taking a trip to Hawaii. We have family in Hawaii, so maybe doing a little trip to Hawaii and going, but instead, to celebrate our 10 years, we got a chance to move to Wisconsin, and so I figure that's a good trade, I think. So we've been married 10 years, and this is like fundamental to like premarital counseling. You never speak in absolutes, right? Like you never say, man, you never take out the trash, because then I'm going to start rattling off all the times that I've done it, right? So you learn early. You stop speaking in these absolute definitive statements. And that's just like premarital counseling 101. Well, John says all things were made through him. So is John about to back off and say, well, what I mean by that is God was just working through Jesus? This wasn't really, I'm just speaking in hyperbolic language. This isn't really true. No, instead, John doubles down about what Jesus does and his role in creation. And he says, nothing exists without him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Are you feeling like you're being invited into the kitchen? We're over here dicing some cucumbers. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That in the beginning harkens back. You can hear that and you go, that sounds familiar from maybe something called Genesis, in the beginning, right? That Jesus was intimately involved, and nothing exists without him. Again, we get inoculated by this stuff, but John wants us to see from the beginning of his gospel, there's nothing better than Jesus. There is nothing greater than who this guy is, and we get to follow him with our lives. So we bronze it and says, nothing was made without him. And then here's what I love, because now he invites us and says, and here's what Jesus brings. Here's who he is, here's what he does, but here's what he brings. And the first thing John tells us is that this thing called spiritual life is everything. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. So when he says, in him was life, what does he mean? Because I think we all have a general understanding, right? We do have a birthday. There is a date that I can mark in time, February 16th. I can mark that. And today? Today's July 14th. Right? I can mark that. And there's a time coming, whenever that time is, that this life for me will be done. There's an end to this temporal life, right? For some, even in this room, or those that we might know, that might be even coming this year. But we know there's an end to this temporal life. But when John says, in him was life, he's not talking about life here on this earth exclusively. He's actually saying there's this spiritual life that exists beyond our time here. That there's this life that exists beyond here. And that's what matters. That is everything. There's this guy, C.S. Lewis, that's had an impact on my life. And there's a quote that he says that helps capture for me what it looks like, that this spiritual life is everything. And it's a quote from a book called Weight of Glory, where he talks about there's no mere mortals. I shouldn't have advanced the slide yet. You guys all started reading, didn't you? Yeah, you completely cut out whatever I said in the last sentence. So I'll go back. He has this quote, and we're going to read it together, and it pictures for me that this spiritual life is what matters. Because as I interact with people every single day, there's actually something that exists beyond this life that is actually what matters. Here's what C.S. Lewis says. He says it's a serious thing to live in a society of possible gods and goddesses. To remember that the dullest, most uninteresting person, and some of you may be thinking that's me at this point, the dullest and most uninteresting person you can talk to may one day be a creature which, if you saw it now, you would be strongly tempted to worship, or else a horror and a corruption such as you now meet, if at all, only in a nightmare. All day long, we are in some degree helping each other to one or the other of these destinations, of that being of gloriousness or that nightmare. It is in the light of these overwhelming possibilities, is when the awe of the circumspection proper to them, thinking about this reality, this spiritual life, that we should conduct all of our dealings with one another, all our friendships, all our loves, all play, all politics. There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mortal. And their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. But it is immortals. I mean, that life, that temporary life. There's a starting point and a finality to life here. But John and Jesus is telling about this spiritual life that is everything. But it is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. Immortal horrors and everlasting splendors. John's saying this guy Jesus came to earth, and he introduces us to this idea that spiritual life is everything. And then he continues, and he says that spiritual life, that reality of spiritual life beyond here, having a view of that changes everything. Here's what he says in the text. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him, not anything made that was made. In him was life, that spiritual life. Not in the stuff he brought, not in the gifts he gives, but in him was life. In Jesus himself was life. And the life was the light of men. That spiritual life, having eyes to see, changes everything. So we just moved into this house, right down the road. And I'm still trying to figure out where the light switches go, like which light switches turn on which lights. So we're about to go to bed, and one of the far rooms still has the light on. And so I start wandering off to that light. Again, it'd be nice to think two steps ahead, right? So I wander down to that light, I turn it off, and now all of a sudden I'm in pitch black. So I start bumbling and stumbling my way back to the room, and there's a couch, maybe a chair that could have been pushed in that was pushed out, and it's a little different, right? In California, maybe there's some street lights. No, it is pitch black, and I'm bumbling and stumbling my way back. But that light changes everything. Like, when that light's on, I can see that couch that I stubbed my toe on. I can see that dining room chair that was pushed out, and I could push that back in. Spiritual life changes everything. It changes the way I view everything. Because Jesus says, I came to bring life, life in Him. And spiritual life in Him changes everything. Doesn't mean my circumstances are going to change. Rick, our worship leader, was doing a devotion this morning, and he was talking about not that my circumstances are going to change, not that it suddenly becomes this health, wealth, and prosperity, that all things are for the way I would appear them to be good, the way most people define good. But spiritual life changes everything, because I'm now no longer looking for satisfaction in the things this life has to offer. Instead, I'm finding my satisfaction in Jesus. I'm treasuring Jesus above anything else this life has to offer. John, at the onset of his gospel, wants us to be hit and struck by this reality. There is nothing better than Jesus. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus came and offered life in His name. But I think we all kind of know a little bit of the story. That Jesus brings this spiritual life, and He brings it to those in spiritual darkness, who may not realize that they're in spiritual darkness. Here's what John says. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man, and the light shines in the darkness. Man, God took on flesh and dwelt among us. And that light shines in the darkness. Present tense, I love this. This light is shining in the darkness. But here's the challenge, right? We kind of know how that story ended. They rejected Him and crucified Him. That light shined in the darkness, and yet the darkness rejected it. There's this challenge that unless through the work of Christ in our lives, we don't have eyes to see. And so I love where John goes next, because I think there's this double meaning in how he concludes this first five verses. He tells us a little bit about that reality of what happened. He says the spiritual darkness didn't understand this light, because we see how the story progresses. But even within that, he tells us, but they didn't overcome the light. I think a nod to the end of the story, right? The spiritual dead didn't comprehend Him, nor did they defeat Him. So in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That overcome could also be comprehend. They didn't understand it. They were presented with this life-changing opportunity of spiritual life for eternity, and they didn't understand it. They didn't understand. They're walking in darkness. And so they sent Him to the cross, labeled Him a criminal. And yet John wants us to know that this unconquerable light was not overcome. Because we believe Jesus rose from the dead, and we get to worship and gather on a Sunday morning worshiping a risen Savior. So I'm still getting to know the Hillcrest Church family, right? And so I have three takeaways. Again, wherever you might find yourself in this journey, But I think of three places where we might find ourselves. I think potentially if you're sitting in this room and you're still curious about who this Jesus is, there's a couple encouragements. I think the first, keep asking questions. That I heard this quote one time that said, if you go somewhere and you feel you found the perfect church, leave, because you're probably going to screw it up. I hope, we as a community, we're dedicated to promoting our understanding and experience of the depth of our need, that we believe we're sinners and we're broken, saved by God's grace, every one of us. So if potentially you're in this room and you're still curious about who this Jesus guy is, my encouragement, keep asking questions and keep pressing in and praying for Jesus to give you clarity about who he is. Potentially, another group of you guys might find yourselves believing this stuff, that you've heard these stories, you believe who Jesus is, but maybe due to circumstances or challenges that are going on, you're just not feeling that joy as much as you'd like. That if you believe that life is found in Jesus, but maybe having trouble pursuing him to the same degree you'd want. I think one, what are the things in life, the people you might be valuing more than God? If Jesus says he brings this spiritual life and life in his name, there's these things in life that start competing for my affections. If you're not fully experiencing this life in Christ as much as you'd want, maybe because these stories have become dull, you've heard them enough times, what would it look like to evaluate those things that might be vying for your attention? And I think God designed us for relationship. He designed us for relationship with him, and he designed us for relationship with one another. What might it look like if you're in that place to go find someone who seems to be pretty passionate about following this Jesus guy? Might be a little awkward, might take a gut check, but ask him. Take him out for coffee. Get to know him. And then third, you know, we talk about it, right? We actually believe that God wrote a book. And we get to experience him primarily through his word. Keep reading God's manual to experience him. Keep reading the Bible, not forcefully, not out of obligation like Graham talked last week, out of pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, but because you actually believe that God has chosen to reveal himself through his word, to pursue him there. And then third, maybe you do find yourself in a place where you treasure Jesus above anything else this life has to offer, and you are passionately pursuing him with everything you have, every moment of every day. Yet there's challenges in life, but you are passionately pursuing him. Here's my encouragement. Thank him for the work that's been done in your life. That gift that is being done in your life, and ask him to continue to grow that passion. That he's doing a work in your life, in and through you. And then, I think he's planted us in and given us a platform into people's lives. If you're passionately pursuing Jesus, there's a natural overflow into the lives around you. Be sure that you're sharing with those already in your life. God's already, we don't believe in coincidences, right? God has planted you with people that he already is using. He's using you to draw those people to himself. So make sure you're sharing with those people in your life. And then watch for someone with whom you'd share this hope in Christ with. That there's people all around you that are in this spiritual darkness, bumbling and stumbling and bumping on couches and chairs, living in spiritual darkness. And Jesus says, I've come to bring them life, and I'm using you to invest in their lives. And then watch for someone else with whom you might share it. Because God's using Hillcrest. Here's what I'm excited about. God's using Hillcrest. He's using us. He's using our individual lives. as we gather on a Sunday to worship God collectively and then scatter to our neighborhoods, our communities, to help people find their hope and spiritual life in Christ. I think Casey and I cannot wait. We can't wait to partner with you guys. We can't wait to link arms and see what God has for our Hillcrest Church family in the days ahead. We can't wait for the lives he's going to touch because of the people in this room that he's working in and through us to bring the grace and hope and the gospel to the world. So, Case, we can't wait. We cannot wait. So pray with me. Stand and pray as we head out for the morning. And I learned in the first service, I said, see you next Sunday. No. We're coming back here later tonight. So we'll see you tonight. But pray with me as we head out for the morning. God, you are so good. Thank you for who you are and what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for bringing us to a saving knowledge of you. Or if we're still curious about finding more about who you are, may you continue to draw us to yourself. If we find ourselves maybe feeling just a little stuck this morning, may we continue to lean in to your word that you revealed to us. And then may you bring someone into our life that can encourage us in this journey along the way. Either till you return, Jesus, or till you call us home, may we continue to fight for deeper spiritual life in you. For your glory, we pray, and the joy in the journey. Amen.